Good evening, everyone. Everyone have a good day? I had to work last night, so it took me a little nap this morning. All right, well, I have a message here. I got it from 14 pages to about 8. So I have to work tonight, so, you know, I can't stay here all night long, so we'll have to get it done. So our theme is the new year brings new life, or something like that. And so I want to share a little bit about accountability and a few other things here. So let's see. Accountability is not a popular subject, like, you know, our brother talked about last week. He's mentioned 5 D's, you know. One of them was discipline. And, you know, sometimes when I hear discipline, I kind of cringe a little bit, because it's not a favorite thing, you know. It's just not something that you just jump out and say, hey, I'm going to do that, you know. It takes a lot of work, you know, if you want to be fit, you know, or eat right, you know. There's a lot of discipline involved. So I wrote here, discipline is not a dirty word, but without it, things can and will get pretty dirty sometimes, you know, in our walks, in our lives, whatever. Now, to me, accountability is like the word discipline. It can be your enemy or become a very important part of your walk with God. So, you know, that's kind of pretty clear, isn't it? I want to speak clearly because I know my voice doesn't carry very well. So I want everybody on YouTube land to hear me, especially my sister. So New Year's resolutions are about finding that one thing that you can start doing in January and continue doing until the best man wins, right? Yeah? So, you know, sometimes. So anyways, I always start with reading through the Bible, because that's a good goal to have, right? Reading through the Bible. So some days I read more than others. You know why, right? Because you skip the day. You know, so the key word is throughout the year, not every day. So the other thing is I want to be more diligent about keeping our Bible studies on Thursday, because, you know, I'm busy. I have almost 21 grandkids. This week we'll have number 21, praise the Lord. So, you know, I'll be busy with Ashley and the new baby, so I'm going to need a volunteer to take my Bible study this week so we don't skip it. So anyways, I'm trying to get them girls to man up, but, you know, they don't always come through for me, you know. They want me to be there, their fearless leader, you know. So we're only a few weeks into the year, so there's plenty of time for you to develop a new habit or quit a bad one. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, my first slide. Do I have a first slide? There it is. Can y'all read it? Hey, there you go. It's way bigger over here, I guess. Okay. So, Grace Lives Here. I've titled my message, Grace Lives Here, because I want to be the person that Ed talked about last week. I thought him and Jacob were going to take my sermons. And I knew right away that I'm hearing the Lord. You know, if everybody else is, you know, picking pieces off my sermon, then I must be doing okay. So anyways, I want to be so transparent that others see Jesus, and that requires a whole lot of grace. I believe that is your desire too, or you wouldn't be here tonight. So my next slide comes from a book that we just finished by our brother Max there. It says, When grace happens, you'll be changed from the inside out. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I thought that's just wonderful, you know? That's what we all want to strive for, right? To be whole, you know? Wonderful, well-rounded, mature Christians. Amen. So my first verse comes from Matthew 5:8. Waiting for everybody to stand. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God. Don't you want to see God? We all want to see God, right? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless the word, Father, to fall on good hearts and doers of the word, Lord. And we just thank you for all your goodness and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I like the way Tony Evans explains it. He says, purity of heart involves being authentic, and this begins with honesty before God. Prayer for many people is a stale practice because there is no raw conversation with God. Respectful, but raw. We must go to God open because we're not hiding anything from him. He knows everything already. So come clean with him about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you'll see him operating powerfully in your lives. So I wanted to ask, how many times have you heard people say, well, the Lord knows my heart? Everybody can, y'all have heard that at least one time, right? Or me and God are like this. Or I have made peace with God, you know. I'm like, what does that even mean? You know, I mean, usually they're not in church. They don't plan to go anytime soon. And their lives are a mess, you know. So anyways, God knows their hearts too, better than they do, you know. So in Proverbs, we are told to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. And we all have issues, you know. I mean, if you don't have any issues, please tell me what you're doing, because, you know, I have a whole sack full of them. Adult children issues, my job issues, not a lot because I have a pretty good job right now. But y'all may have job issues, you know. I'm not trying to just put it to me here. Issues with coworkers, issues with babysitters, issues with your spouse, siblings, mail carrier, the neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Everyone that isn't you, right? Well, we got chickens. 4 of them. Our neighbor's chickens like our yard better than they do theirs. So, has anyone ever seen a spring? Everybody's seen a spring, right? Well, my mom in Michigan, she used to have this creek that ran alongside of her property. It was beautiful. I wish I could have that property. Anyways, you know, it would rise different times of the year, mostly spring. After the winter, it would, you know, be almost to the top of the big old, you know, thing that goes under the road. What do you call them things? Yes, but they were huge. You could walk. We were running, you know, run through them when we were little, because the water would only be, you know, ankle deep or whatever. But I heard stories later on when my family moved back home that my brother, my baby brother, used to catch salmon out of that creek. I thought that was pretty cool. But you know, the creek comes, so it's a steady flow. It doesn't stop. When you say, stop, creek, I want to cross, it doesn't do that. It just keeps going. You know, the issues of life are like that. They just keep coming. Most of the time, uninvited. Sometimes we invite them in. I have an example here of an uninvited issue. I already told you about it, actually. Those chickens. The neighbor's chickens. So far, they're still there. I have to still buy my chicken. I haven't, done anything with the chickens, so I've been wanting to. I run them off. I do run them off my yard because they leave gifts, and I don't like them. An example of an invited issue is I co-signed on a loan with my kids, and now it's coming to haunt me. But, the Lord takes care of me, so I know everything's going to work out all right. But that was an uninvited thing that I did, So the other thing is uninvited or, uninvited thing is attention deficit disorder. They put an H in there now, but, who cares? It's still not a good thing. But I'm going to start a new habit, I'll get me a new book or whatever. I'll read it for about 3 days and then I'll forget about it. some of y'all like that too. But you know what? I got diagnosed many years ago and I got on medication. I didn't like the way the medication acted on me. So I'm like, you know what? We can do this. James Dobson, I used to listen to him. He had all this stuff, that you could do, and mostly learning how to cope. So that's what I did. I learned to cope with it, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I've learned how to use it, like, for my advantage, So anyways, having ADD has been one of my biggest struggles because it makes everything else hard to manage. My home life, forget house cleaning, don't even ask me about that. Jobs, relationships, if you know what I'm talking about. So when I actually finish something, it's a big deal. In our Tuesday Bible study group, I don't even know when we started, but we've completed at least 18 studies. And most of them are books. Yeah. That's about the only way I can finish a book, is to do it with them, Because I have a lot of started books in my office and everywhere in my house. So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have learned to depend on him with this attention deficit thing. So anyways, I forgot my first point title was, if grace lives here. Oh, I skipped the whole section here. No, I didn't. We must have pure hearts. And that was my verse for Matthew 5:8. Okay, so the number two point is, if grace lives here, I'm accountable for my heart's voice. Yes. Your heart has a voice. Let's see. Matthew 12:34 says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth's doing the speaking, but still, it has a voice. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings good things forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We are spirit, soul, and body. The soul and the body are the troublemakers. Unless we immerse them with the word of God and prayer and fasting, we will never change. Amen? We got to work on it. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and they were condemning themselves every time they spoke. So revealing the true nature of their heart. We can be like the Pharisees too if we aren't careful and aware of the way we conduct ourselves. I like the way Tony says it. He says, when you open your mouth, you reveal what's deep down inside, whether good or evil. He goes on to say, so you've got to watch your mouth. God is recording our words, and we will have to account for every careless word we spoke. The way to tame your tongue is to address your heart, and the way to address your heart is to devote it to the King's agenda. So what do? We guard our hearts, renew our minds. Psalms 141:3 is that verse, you know, about guarding your heart. There it is. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Watch over the door of my lips. And Romans 12:2, y'all know what that one is, right? There it is right there. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. So be transformed. Number three, if grace lives here, I am aware of the flesh. That sounds kind of weird, don't it? But it's true. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So in 2015, I went through some very strict dying to my flesh. It was a terrible feeling when you can't just say what you want to say to people. My pastor called it spiritual boot camp. I never heard of such a thing. It's the ugliest words I've ever heard her say. Biting my tongue when I really wanted to, you know, tell somebody the truth. Staying out of my kids' business. They're adults now, you know. Giving someone a piece of my mind. I like what Pastor Rick said once. He said, stop giving people a piece of your mind. You need all you got. And that's true. To me, accountability is key. You might say, well, maybe you need it, but I'm good. Me and God were like this, you know. But when things go south, you find yourself all alone because you made the decision to do it alone. Now, I read that note because I seen it in there, but I don't know what it went to. But the other day when I was preparing, I seen a video by Bob Sorge. And he was responding to allegations that were allegations against Mike Bickle. Y'all know who that is? I did not even heard of this until the other day when I seen this video. But anyways, in the video, Bob, I mean, this happened like last year or something. And he just now made this video. And he's in his basement lying on the floor because he says it's as low as he can get regarding his feelings and thoughts about the allegations. I thought that was pretty powerful, you know, because we just don't always pay attention to sin the way we should, you know? I mean, I don't think we should go around with, you know, mallets hitting people on the head. But we should feel something, you know, when people are doing wrong. It's not okay, you know? He goes on to say that he is crushed, heartbroken, dismayed, heartsick, grieved, and sorrowful against those who have been sinned against. That convicted me because I don't think I always react to sin like I should. He goes on to say that he is grateful for the way that it has affected him. He's hurting. He wants to feel the pain that this is causing to the victims. He says, when the body doesn't feel pain, something's wrong. He says he doesn't cry like he should about sin. Anyways, that spoke to me really, I don't know, kind of like slapped me around a little bit, you know, because I don't always, you know, I don't get, y'all don't see me crying all the time. Okay, I cry for my little grandbabies that I don't get to see right now. And, you know, makes me sad. I have two homeless brothers that can't seem to get it together. But, you know, help's been given. They just mess it up some kind of way. But that hurts me, you know. That hurts me to know that I have brothers that are homeless. So, moving on. So, accountability slide number, I don't know what that is. There it is. The fact or condition of being accountable, responsibility. According to Google, accountability refers to the acceptance for honest and ethical conduct towards others. So, if you don't have an accountability partner, get one. Just one. Get more if you need to. One thing that I love is that, you know, we have a ladies group. You know, we're kind of with each other, I feel like. But the men's group, rock on. That is a big group. You know, I mean, I just love that there's all these men and they're, you know, they're accountable to each other, you know, because you don't want to see your brother messing up. Get it together, man, you know. It's like you're there for each other. Anyways, even the Lone Ranger had a partner. I don't know why they called it the Lone Ranger. They should have been, you know, the Ranger and Tonto or, you know. So I've always had someone to talk to. I got my honey back there. I talk to him. He's a good sounding board. I meet with Shannon every 2 weeks. But before that, I pretty much could talk to her about anything. I feel the same way about Janine and my friend Char and maybe some of you sometimes, Pamela. But if I have a concern about the church, I go to the pastors. I just go right to her, like, hey, I got a bone to pick. You know, or I got something that's been bothering me. You know, they don't want you carrying all that stuff around. You know, God, just like God. God doesn't want us carrying stuff around. He wants us to give it to him. So, if you have something, talk to the pastors. Or talk to somebody, you know, Janine, somebody, you know. Talk to somebody. Get you an accountability person. So, let's see, the next slide. Let's see what Mr. John Maxwell has to say. He says, there's no one-size-fits-all solution to leadership, but there is one thing that every leader needs, accountability. As a leader in this church and body of Christ, I'm accountable to you to be at church. Sorry I wasn't here this morning. And let's see. To be a part of the vision of the pastors, to discover God's purpose for our lives, to deliver God's message of hope, to develop godly character and relationships. I know we can't be friends with everybody in the church. I understand that. But we can be friends with a few, right? Like more than one. Let's see, to act right when I'm out and about, when I'm in traffic. Don't be using funny fingers to people. I don't do that. At home, towards my honey. Right, honey? I love you, honey. Let's see. Social media, that's a big one. Y'all don't know how many times I'm like, and then delete it. I mean, it feels good just to write it, right? And then delete it. That's good therapy. Just write it out and delete it. Just don't press that send, because you're going to be in trouble then. In the break room with coworkers, at the doctor's office, when somebody goes ahead of you, when you were there first, the nerve. So, do I get it right every time? No. But I repent and I go on. I repent and go on. Say, I repent and go on. You got to go on. You can't stay there. That's where the devil wants to keep us. Get down there. You know, not today, right? So we're accountable to each other. I've been here long enough to see people leave for many reasons. They get offended. They get mad. There they go. You know, instead of talking to somebody. Anyways. It's frustrating because, you know, I know it hurts the pastors when people leave. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, good riddance, you know. I don't know. Sometimes it's okay. Go. If somebody else can help you, you know, go. I don't know. I'm just being honest, right? Y'all know it's true. Andrew Womack has said, true story, I read out of one of his books. He said, they have a service where they just invite people to come up. If you want to leave the church, come on up.
Now you can leave.
He dismisses them. He just tells them, go. You know, he don't want people sitting around. They're not going to do nothing. I'm like, okay. We need to try that. Just kidding. Anyways, if grace lives here, then I value God and his people. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. All of my life, I have served people. I enjoy cooking for people. If you want, if I cook for you and you like it, please tell me. I'll give you some more. But if I don't hear from you, guess what? You're not getting nothing else. Because I thrive on affirmation. That's my gift, one of my spiritual gifts or whatever. Love language, that's it. That's mine. I love to be told stuff. I love it, you know. It just makes me feel wonderful when people say good things about me. Anyways, moving on. Doing favors for people, coming to the rescue of people. I know my husband's back there shaking his head. But sometimes it becomes somewhat of a chore. And I've learned that the hard way, that that's God's way of telling me to back off. And like I said before, I've tried many things before I found my place. I feel like I found my place anyways. Let's see. I have come to realize that the reason I love my job is because I get to do all the things I've enjoyed doing all my whole life. I work at a group home for women with intellectual disabilities. It can be challenging sometimes, I ain't gonna lie. But most of the time, it's pretty awesome. I get to do all the things I enjoy. I mean, I share the house with 5 other people, so we all keep it clean, right? That's great. I don't have to do it all by myself. Let's see. So, cooking for others, taking care of others, transporting others, bringing others to church. On Monday mornings from 5 to 7, I have gotten 3 individuals up, bathed them, clothed them, got them ready by 6. They take their vitals, and I log all that in, and then I pack 3 lunches. Breakfast is made by 7. And my chores are done, and my notes are logged into the computer. That's pretty awesome. That's what an attention deficit person can do, people. Amen. The Lord has just turned it all around, and I'm like, you know, I can do all these things. And it only takes me a few minutes. So anyways, praise the Lord. So we've all been given some kind of gift that we can share, and we can all do something. How do you Know what your gifts are? There's a test for that. Pastors have a test, quiz thing you can take. I have a whole book you can read. Make some room on my shelf for another book. The next thing you can do is step out in those gifts. So, like I said, I've tried a whole lot of things, and I'm in a good place right now. So hopefully it won't take you as long as it took me. Right, I'm 58. Lay them straight. So my next point is, if grace lives here, then we are pleasing, well pleasing to him. How much time do I have? 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God. There that thing is. And I also trust all are all well known in your consciences. So you've heard people say you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time. Where you can't fool God at all. He's the one we have to worry about. Did you get my picture of... I had a picture of my in-laws from my first husband that I was, me and Tommy were talking about them the other day, and both of them got Alzheimer's. One of them got Alzheimer's, the other one I think got dementia. But whenever I would go visit them, they just treated me like they knew me. I mean, Juanel knew me by name and knew about Casey, you know, would ask me about Casey and Thomas. But Jimmy, he would just treated me like he knew me, like he knew I was a part of his world, but he just didn't know how. But I've never seen him angry. I've never seen him lash out. But before that, rewind, every night, because I lived with him for a few months before we came to Kingsland, but every night he was sitting on his bed reading his Bible, you know. Before he went to bed, he'd read his Bible, and I believe the Lord kept him, you know. They didn't, you know, I've seen people, you know, and I've seen it in my own family, just turn into different people, you know, and I ain't never heard Mama cuss before, you know, stuff like that. But I never heard them go any kind of weird way. It was amazing to watch them. And, you know, I don't want to get Alzheimer's, but if I do, I hope I go out like they did, because they went out awesome, you know. It was just great to see them, you know, not be the couple that was tormenting all the people at the nursing home, you know. They went out in style, I would like to say, you know. They were in their 80s. And anyways, I had a little picture that I sent to the media H-tag thing, but I guess it didn't go through. But anyways, I wanted to share one more thing since I got 3 minutes. And this happened a long time ago, but it's just one of those things that I struggle with, and maybe it would help you. So you don't ever do something like this, but anyways, a few years ago when the Mitchells started coming to church, you know, I don't know what it is, but when new people come to the church, I get a little jealous. I'm like, here's somebody else Shannon can deal with. You know, I'm like, I'd be so jealous that she was going to make friends. And I just had to come to the realization that Shannon's going to have friends. Lots of them, you know. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to get some new friends. But the Mitchells came, and they started doing everything. They got involved with everything. Everything that was happening, they were there, you know. And I was like, good night, you know. So anyways, I just cornered her one day, and I'm like, look, I want to be your friend. Because I ain't having this other nonsense. I just want to be your friend. And you know what? She has been one of the best friends that I've ever had. I mean, you're not close, you know. I don't call her every day or nothing. But she helped me in my walk, you know, to get to different levels that I've never been before. Because, you know, I was, you know, in my comfort zone. But sometimes we need that person to push us a little bit. Pastor Dow used to literally use his foot. When we would go door knocking, he would push me to the doors because I'd be so scared that somebody was going to answer. But you know what? We need that person. We need that person to push us a little bit, you know. And I've had a lot of pushing because I wouldn't be standing up here if I hadn't got pushed. All right? So, but you know what? The Lord's always going to be there when you get pushed. He's always going to be there. If it's something that, you know, you're supposed to do, he's going to be there. I was a mess earlier in the week. Like I said, I had 14 pages of notes, and I didn't know what to do. And then I just went, started from fresh, and the Lord gave me a whole new platform. So anyways, you don't give up, right? If you give up, that's it. End of the line. So don't give up. Get your accountability partner. If you don't have one, get you one. If you need one, I'll be it. All right. I'll push myself and whatever. Get out of my comfort zone. Do whatever I need to do to help you. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. We pray that maybe somebody could take something off of it, Lord, and carry it home and apply it to their lives, Lord, and help us to be accountable first to you. And remember that we all have feelings, Lord, and we all love each other and we all care about each other, Lord. So we need to be there for one another and pray for one another, encourage one another, Lord, and support one another, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.